Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels on a Tuesday. Hope you're all having a great day wherever you are, whatever you're doing. The Senior Bowl is rumbling to life down there in Alabama. The Shrine Bowl getting set to wind down. But we here at Cheesehead TV never wind down. We are year-long, baby, all off-season. You can tell I'm excited, right? I am excited about heading to the Super Bowl next week. I'm going to be leaving from New Orleans on Sunday. We'll be coming to you live from Radio Row each and every day, Monday through Friday next week, down in New Orleans. Hope you'll all join me. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'll be on the radio as well with the guys from 97.3 The Game throughout the week. So make sure you're checking out all that content as well. Just wanted to mention a little bit about Andy Reid, seeing as he's on the precipice of winning his third Super Bowl with the Kansas City Chiefs as a head coach, after obviously a long tenure in Philadelphia as the head coach there, knocking on the door several times, never able to close the deal. And prior to that, that's right, he was an assistant coach in Green Bay under Mike Holmgren. The fact that he was a assistant offensive line coach, a quarterbacks coach, and an assistant head coach those final years in Green Bay. I got an email, and I'm sorry, it escaped me the name from which this email came. Also, I know I don't, you know, people don't expect to have their name shouted out when they email us, so I don't want to kind of put the name out there, but someone had a very good question in the inbox earlier this week regarding Andy Reid about whether or not he was given any consideration by Ron Wolf when Wolf hired Ray Rhodes. And I don't remember ever seeing any reporting around that. I do remember Wolf confirming and then later talking about it pretty extensively as far as one of the regrets he had when he made the move to hire Rhodes. Not that, you know, clearly Rhodes had been a head coach and had experience leading a team. In fact, was coach of the year in Philadelphia, taking that team to the playoffs after coming on board and turning around what had been a pretty bad program. And when it was very clear that Holmgren was going to make the move and he wanted to be able to, get Rhodes in there, he said he had a pretty narrow vision. And I do know when it comes to Reid, obviously he had a lot of promise. Holmgren loved him. Holmgren denied him permission to go essentially take the offensive coordinator job with Mariucci when Mariucci was hired to be the San Francisco 49ers head coach. But I don't recall ever hearing or seeing any reporting around Reid being given any serious consideration as a head coach in Green Bay. And that's, you know, I don't think a huge kind of miss on Ron's part. Who knows what Reid does in Green Bay as opposed to maybe eventually Philadelphia, et cetera. Different circumstances, different quarterbacks. Who knows how that lays out, right? I do think the Reid journey is fascinating, especially considering how long he was in Philadelphia. I mean, he's there a good decade and change, right? Several, I mean, five NFC championships, I believe, a Super Bowl loss, could never really finally get over that final hump, so to speak, goes to Kansas City, and we all know what has happened there with Mahomes. But even before Mahomes is his starting quarterback, he's taken him to the playoffs with Alex Smith, right? Clearly a very good coach. But for a very long time, especially during his tenure in Philadelphia, he was killed by his local press, by the national media, for his game management, his use of timeouts, the way he handled timeouts, his game flow and things like that, that, you know, it took some time for him to find his footing there. And of course, I look at that through the lens of the current kind of discourse around Matt LaFleur. I know there are people in this chat who make themselves heard quite often that, Matt, they need to move on and all that stuff. And I've made my thoughts on that very clear. But I do hope that Andy Reid is instructive as far as maybe having a little bit more patience. And I'm not saying that Matt LaFleur is destined to go on and become Andy Reid. Far from it. I have no idea what lays ahead for Matt, the Packers, etc. But I do know he's 6 years in. They are on the second part of that kind of program. Matt obviously was the head coach for the final years with Aaron. They have started something very new here these last couple years. And I think Matt is learning as he goes and is improving. His team has improved their win-loss record from 8 to 9 to 11 wins these last 3 years. I just think Andy Reid is a perfect kind of lens to look at that through. A very talented offensive-minded coach who, yeah, has to take his lumps and certainly has to continue to grow and develop as a head coach in the NFL. I'm not saying it requires infinite patience. I'm not saying he's, you know, above reproach or shouldn't be criticized. God knows. That is all fair game. I just hope while we're watching Andy Reid chase history a week from Sunday, we remember that he was once, you know, I mean, vilified at times by the press, the media, hell, his own fan base in Philadelphia. You know, the coaches take some time and take, you know, everything they learn and grow, not unlike players. Just shouldn't be so quick to want to move on. That's my old man rant for the day. Your mileage may vary. Good to see everybody in the comment section. All sorts of folks. Complicated Fellas here, of course. Guitar Ted, how are you, man? Let's give a shout out to our good friends over at Prize Picks before we get going here. Prize Picks is daily fantasy sports made easy. You just select two or more players, pick more or less on their projected stats, and place your entry. Quick withdrawals, easy gameplay, and an enormous selection of players and stat types are what make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. Go to prizepicks.com, use code CHTV, spend $5 on lineups, and get $50 instantly. Prize Picks is available in 43 different states, including Wisconsin. Do it, folks. There's a link in the description of the video. Remember, use code CHTV. What's going on, folks? Let's get to your comments, questions, and thoroughly thought out depositions. Terminal Frost starting us off with a super chat. Thanks, buddy. Winning the division starts with Matt having the team ready week one, regardless if it's a division game or not. Yeah, I think that is fair game. I think that's absolutely 1,000,000,000% something that you should absolutely expect. That's no doubt about the fact that whether it is divisional, whether it is home or away, week one, you're ready to go. Now, that said, I think there are plenty of teams around the league now that, you know, aren't playing their starters in preseason, are using September to be a bit of a proving ground for especially things like, you know, roster battles and things like that, and how they think they're best operating on either side of the ball. I mean, look no further than the Philadelphia Eagles, who are about to play in a Super Bowl, who did not come out like gangbusters. They took care of business in week one down in Brazil against Green Bay. But, you know, that first month plus, they weren't, you know, the juggernaut that you're seeing right now. Sometimes it does take those initial kind of two or three games to get your footing and to figure out who you are and what you're about. I mean, the Rams kind of went down that road too. Now, of course, that somewhat was injury driven because of the wide receiver injuries. But yeah, obviously you want to come firing out the gate. There's no excuse to not be ready. I'm not saying that. But the way the league is constructed now, would you rather have them ready for week one and ready to go regardless of blah, 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 and then flame out there at the end? Or do they find their way early in the season and then get hot and go into the playoffs gunning for bear? You know, and I'm not saying you can't do both, but I'm saying that is where the league is right now. Like, those early wins are certainly something you want, because it helps you win the division. It helps you get home playoff games. You certainly want to collect as many W's as possible. But, you know, if it does take a bit for a team to find its way early in the season, that's not a death knell. And look no further than the Eagles, to my point. Mimsy, what's going on, man? Is Mahomes just an Andy Reid merchant? No, absolutely not. And I know there are people who will probably try to discredit what Reid has done because of Mahomes, but no, I think they're a perfect pairing, and I think his ability certainly allows Andy Reid to utilize a whole lot of different things on offense that with other quarterbacks he might not be able to, whether that is in the passing game, whether that is using his athletic ability, use his legs, etc., which you certainly saw in the AFC Championship game come to fruition. But no, Mahomes is not. And I'm pretty sure you're joking, but just in case you aren't, no. Grant B., how are you, man? Had the Packers not lost to the 49ers on the Owens catch, Reid could not have interviewed with Philly and likely doesn't get the job. Maybe is Green Bay head coach. Maybe. I doubt it, though. Like I said, that had never, and Ron Wolf's had every opportunity to say these things and has never really confirmed anything that would suggest that he had Andy Reid in mind in any way, shape, or form. You might be right, but, you know, there, again, that's all, we can only take Ron at his word. From what I've read and heard, maybe there's something out there in a book somewhere I've missed, but he's talked a lot about it. Vin V, what's going on, man? First three-peat equals lazy marketing, erases pro football history. I very much agree, Vin, and I did say, I think on Monday, you know, usually, not always, but often, these conversations or these kind of platitudes and these declarations are, you know, in most instances, they are with the addition of in the Super Bowl era or the first time since the Super Bowl began or something like that. You know, every once in a while, yes, you do get someone saying it's the first, it would be the first three-peat if Kansas City does this on a week from Sunday. I will say, I'm happy to let you guys know that I'll be talking to Cliff Kristol, the Green Bay Packers historian, about this very subject later this week here on Cheesehead TV. That video will probably go up Thursday afternoon. So I know Cliff will have a lot to say. He's had a lot to say on Packers.com. He's written extensively about it both this week already and in the past throughout this season, talking about the challenges that the first two teams that the Packers had that three-peated, the challenges they faced compared to the challenges that this Kansas City team has faced. Can't wait to talk to Cliff about it. Because, like I said, I know he's got a lot to say. Ooh, Joe, that's a great question, man. Does Jason Kelce cheer for his team or his family? That is a great... I got to suspect he's cheering for his brother, but there's no way he doesn't, you know, come out of that game happy and sad, no matter what happens. Jocelyn, how are you? Personnel and coaching staff dynamics fascinate me with the draft, especially at the Senior Bowl. Does Goot ask coaches to pay more attention to certain guys? Well, I don't think he talks to, I don't think the Packers coaching staff on the whole is going to be doing a ton when it comes to the draft process. There's certainly discussion, but mostly that is the fiefdom of the personnel group. And they may get opinions on guys and they may say, what do you think of this? XYZ, look at the tape, have you? But yeah, for the most part, that is, you know, Goody and his band, that is their kind of, I won't say fiefdom, but it is their area. And I don't think that you don't have to look much further than the fact that LaFleur and the staff don't go to the combine anymore. You know, they're very busy working on what it is they want to do schematically and personnel wise, as far as the guys who already they have on hand. But yeah, that's something I do want to kind of ask both of them about maybe later this offseason, because you know, it was always fascinating to me. You talk about the dynamics. It does feel like a bit of a push and pull at times when it comes to what the personnel staff maybe sees in a guy that doesn't seem to really connect with how the coaching staff is using him. And we've certainly seen that play out a few times throughout the history of the Green Bay Packers. Ed, how are you, man? Don't hate either Super Bowl team. Just want the Packers to hold on to that three NFL championships thing. Plus, the AFL is evil, but everyone knows that. All right. Yeah, look, I don't have any problems. If the Chiefs win three Super Bowls in a row, phenomenal. Welcome to the family. You know, that I got no problem with the Chiefs winning another Super Bowl, becoming the first Super Bowl, you know, era team to win three in a row. I got no issue with that. But, you know, Packers still have one up on them. That's all I'm saying. It's pretty easy. Joey, how are you, man? Is it too early to talk about the draft? If not, what position do you want for the first round? I prefer a cornerback. Sad Jair's leaving, but it's similar to Bakhtiari's departure, so I understand. Joey, it's never too early to talk about the draft. Hell, I got a whole podcast going on about the draft. If you haven't checked it out yet, make sure you do. The Draft Industrial Complex, available here on the YouTube channel. The newest episode went up yesterday. Also available on Spotify, Apple, wherever you're getting your podcasts. Make sure you check it out, The Draft Industrial Complex. As far as what position do you want in the first round? You're talking me, Aaron Nagler, as a fan, just sitting here in my place, just drinking a beer and talking to you guys? I probably want a defensive tackle, but that's just me. I want to own the line of scrimmage. I want to absolutely destroy teams up front. every year the Packers seem to have their season end because they meet a team that controls the line of scrimmage better than they do. And then every offseason, I'm not saying this is just you, Joey, but every offseason, everyone's like, we need fast athletic guys on the perimeter. Like, no, I want to control the trench. I want to stop people on offense. I want to destroy the quarterback. And on the flip side, on offense, I want my quarterback to be upright and be able to survey the field, make the throws necessary, and not have instant pressure in his face. Control the trenches. I will always want big guys. Almost always. Now, that doesn't mean there won't be a guy available, maybe at corner, maybe even wide receiver, which, you know, the earth would melt if that happened. That, you know, maybe one of those areas falls into the lap and there's a player that's too good to pass up and they do so, right? And they pull the trigger. My money, I want to control the line of scrimmage. So I'm always going to say, almost always going to say the big guys. That's where I want to live early and often in the draft. Isaiah, you got it. Games are won in the trenches. 100%. Why do you think they lost to the Eagles? The Eagles absolutely owned them on the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. That was the ball game. Like, you can talk about Jordan Love being inaccurate at times or whatever they did as far as fumbles and injuries and what have you. But you take all of that out of the equation, they just controlled the line of scrimmage from the jump. Packers couldn't run the ball to save their life, couldn't get them out of that too high shell because of it. And that was the ball game on offense. And on defense, they played well enough to win. But you saw towards the end how that kind of wore down and they started getting a little bigger chunks here and there. Like, you got to control the line of scrimmage. Absolutely have to do it. Oh, Brian, that's an excellent question. Is Jordan Morgan ascending? What's up with him, speaking of trenches? Well, we know he dealt with that shoulder injury pretty much all year, right? It happened early in camp, got shut down, came back, kind of re-aggravated it, and then got re-shut down. Hopefully, should have a clean bill of health when they reconvene for the offseason program. Hopefully, he's able to hit the ground running when training camp begins. And I suspect he's going to be in the mix to be a starter somewhere along the line. Now, where is that? At guard? At one of the tackle spots? Maybe even left tackle? I think that's a possibility. But yes, he should be in the equation when it comes to their starting offensive line next year. I have little doubt about that. Joe, what's up, man? Thanks for the super chat. My recollection is Wolf thought discipline was slipping in 1998 and Rhodes would bring it back. Did not work. Not sure Wolf interviewed anybody else. And that's the kind of thing I've kind of harped on here, is the fact that he has since then talked about how that is a regret, that he did zero in on Rhodes very early and thought, because he had been a head coach, he wanted someone with head coaching experience. He knew Rhodes was very familiar with him because he was on staff at Green Bay. And you're right. There was this sense and this idea that things had gotten kind of somewhat loose towards the end of, you know, Holmgren's time, because he was eyeing his move west. And that was absolutely one of the considerations. No doubt about it. Puma, what's up, man? I can't wait to see what Lloyd can do next season. I'm with you. And that goes for a lot of the kind of injured dudes along this past draft class, right? Certainly with Lloyd, who barely got out there this year, Morgan, who couldn't stay out there, and then even somebody like Edgerrin Cooper, who missed such a good kind of long swath of time, right, due to injury, as well as Evan Williams. Like, if we can get a full year out of these guys, I'm excited about all of them, no doubt about it. Rai, that's an interesting question. Why do you think Joe Barry had relative success versus Reed Mahomes? I do think they did a really good job of keeping a lid on everything they were trying to do downfield, made them earn it underneath, and they really played some really good red zone defense. I mean, that was the big key for both of those games, both that first start in for Jordan Love in Kansas City and then the game in Lambeau 2 years ago. They played really well in the red zone in those games. And that was a major component for why they won the second one and were in the first one. But yeah, I think, you know, sometimes you have a scheme that just, it's a game of matchups, right? And I think they matched up pretty well in both those. you're talking about the lines. Just save me some chat money. Thanks. I'm here, if nothing else, to make sure you guys are thrifty. I don't want you overspending. Absolutely not. what else we got here, folks? This is such a great question. Who else did cocaine with Chester before he kicked his TD? I don't think anybody. If I remember reading the excerpt from his book correctly, I think that he did that all on his own. But who knows? Maybe it was a group effort. It would be hilarious if that came to light at some point. All right, buddy, I'm going to have to get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV. We are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Care of the G Club members, Patreon members, don't forget, happy hour at the top of the hour in about 40 minutes. I'll be seeing you. The information for the Zoom link is on your respective pages. I'll see you there. The rest of the hooligans out there, thanks so much. Have a good night. Go Pack, go.